Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Oh, where's the Clash when you need them? Do you know that song? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go? Now, we made a decision, the Noble family did, years ago, to go. Actually, we never went in the first place. That would be the public school system. And so starting all the way back, way back when our oldest, who's now 25, was, he did the preschool at the, church here and there. And then kindergarten and first grade, bam, right into private Christian school. And then we yanked him out of there and started homeschooling. And our daughter and then our son and then our daughter. So all four kids, except for about a semester and a half, our youngest went to local high school for her freshman year until they shut it down for COVID, cuz COVID, hashtag cuz COVID. And but she had been raised in our home and the youngest of four kids. So it's not like she had not heard about all this crazy stuff in the world and in the school system and stuff. So she went in as a freshman at a local high school here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it was exactly what we expected it to be. Is it exactly what she expected it to be in terms of just kind of worldliness and all that kind of mess and sexual issues and sex, drugs, rock and roll, the kind of stuff you would expect. And then the quality of education, which was subpar, and just how kind of chaotic the classrooms could be in the hallway. And it was exactly what we expected it to be. But she wanted to go in there and give it a shot, strong in her faith. So we weren't worried about that. And so she went in and then they sent them all home. And so it's not that attractive to be there when it's regular. It's not attractive at all to remain there when you're online only. So she was like, forget it. What's the point? And so she started homeschooling again last fall, first semester this year. And then she's still homeschooling right now. And like I said, cards on the table, we're a homeschooling family. But has it got to the point? I've done shows a lot on this in the past, but it's been years where if you're a conservative or particularly a Christian conservative, is it just forget it? You throw your hands up and I'm done. We don't stay in reform. You say, well, we need to be salt and light. Well, maybe you should be salt and light. You as an adult, but your 8-year-old, your 10-year-old, you think they're going to be salt and light in that school? Are they leading kids to Christ all over the place? Are they challenging the biblical worldview, lack thereof, of their teachers? Are they pushing back on the notions about American history and what it means and what this country is and is not? Do they do that? No, they don't. Now, maybe some of you are like, well, my kid does. Okay, praise the Lord. That's awesome. But that is such an anomaly. Most of them just go in one end and come out the other. And it's subtle, but it's like the frog in the pot. Kindergarten, second grade, fourth grade, middle school, high school. They go off to college and you're like, what just happened? Because, gosh, we went to church on Sunday and they went to youth group on Sunday night and we even came back on Wednesday night. But let me remind you of the math. And to use a good old Ben Shapiro quote, facts don't care about your feelings. So let's say you're a gold star Christian family. All right. Praise the Lord. And you go Sunday morning to Sunday school. Then they go to the church service. Then they come back Sunday night for another youth group thing. And then they come back Wednesday night. Woo! Gold star Christian, man. That's awesome. 4 hours a week. Kindergarten through 12th grade, you just racked up 2,400 hours, 2,400 hours of godly input, theology, Bible teaching, being around other Christian people and Christian leaders and pastors and youth pastors and all that stuff. 2,400 hours between kindergarten and 12th grade, 4 hours a week at church, gold star Christian, right? Okay. Well, if you do the same thing in the public school system, kindergarten through 12th grade, you get, guess what, 16,000 hours rear end in the seat between kindergarten and 12th grade of not Christian teaching, some warped teaching, and a lot of anti-Christian teaching, and that's 16,000 hours. Let's throw in on top of it something that you and I really didn't have to deal with when we were that age, and social media, digital input. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, podcasts, video games, cable television, Netflix, Amazon, whatever. On average, kindergarten through 12th grade, right now, another 16,000 hours. So 32,000 hours of input between kindergarten and 12th grade, mostly godless worldview, right? Versus your gold star Christian family effort, which netted 2,400 hours in church. 2,400 hours over here, the gold star Christian, versus 32,000 hours of the public school system, kindergarten through 12th grade. So let me ask you a question. Just how good of a parent are you? Like, it's math. Oh, yeah, but Steve, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I get that. I understand that. But the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't remove human responsibility. Hey, they would have loved to stay in the upper room. Can't we just stay up here where it's safe and cozy and we'll just be full of the Holy Spirit and we'll just pray the gospel out into the world? No. You actually need to go do something. Okay, so now here we are in the public school system, and I'm going to use North Carolina as an example because we've been talking about, and this, I mentioned it yesterday with the cartoon that came out with WRAL, and that's a very liberal organization, obviously. And the cartoon had a elephant, meaning a Republican, in a Ku Klux Klan outfit. And on the Ku Klux Klan outer outfit, it says GOP members, state school board. Well, that would be people like Mark Robinson, our new lieutenant governor, who happens to be not white. He's black. And then the bubble, the content bubble, says we prefer to start with a clean sheet. And they have a big red X through a little piece of paper that this obviously member of the KKK Republican is holding that says new, quote unquote, inclusive North Carolina social studies standards. And they've been talking about these social studies standards for a while ago. I'm looking at a story from the News and Observer from July of 2020, when they're talking about, OK, we got to look at the new kindergarten through 12 social studies so that more work can be done on them to address how to teach difficult topics such as slavery and racism and gender stuff. Right. So that's what they were going to talk about. And then they punted on it. How do we deal with these things? So they were talking about a year ago. Then it resurfaced recently. Here's another article from WRAL, State Board of Education, to vote on changes to social studies classes. And then what happened? We're talking about systemic racism, systemic discrimination, and gender identity. Hey, how many of you want your first, second, or third, or fourth grader being taught that by the public school system? And I'm going to tie all that back into how they look at this particular cartoon, which is a joke. Because they're basically saying if you're a Republican, you're a member of the KKK because you're against, well, gender inclusion. We'll be right back. Should we stay or should we go? Is it time to just let the ship sink? I'm out of here. I'm out. Well, for the Noble family, we were never in. But as we look at these different things, what's going on here in North Carolina, talking about the school board, systemic racism, systemic discrimination, gender identity, all that stuff that they want to include in the social studies curriculum for kindergarten through 12th grade. Kindergarten. You want your kindergarten seeing everything through the lens of skin color and race? Everything? Do we have any shot at unity when we make that everything? When we no longer, sorry, Dr. King, it really is about the color of your skin. It's not about the content of your character. I'm not saying we don't have conversations. Come sit in on the classes I teach, on the civics constitution course I teach, which actually deals with American history. And I am brutally honest because the history of this country is just like your history and just like my history. You have bright points and you have bad points. I have some really beautiful things on my ledger and I have some horrific things on my ledger and I need to own it all. And so you teach kids how to think, to be critical thinkers, not necessarily what to think. But that's not what's happening in our public schools anymore. They're teaching them what to think, not how to think. And they're too young to be discerning. They don't have the ability to be critical thinkers. We don't even teach them how to be critical thinkers, which is why you see things like this. This is Dalton Schools. This is in New York. And a lot of people parents are really ticked off. And so they're going at them. They wrote a letter from the quote unquote Dalton community that says this: every class this year has had an obsessive focus on race and identity, racist cop reenactments in science, decentering whiteness in art class, learning about white supremacy and sexuality in health class. Wildly inappropriate, many of these classes feel more akin to Zoom corporate sensitivity training than Dalton's intellectually engaging curriculum. I mean, whatever happened to teaching, especially our young kids, how to read and write and do arithmetic? Iowa School District plans Black Lives Matter Week of Action for preschoolers through grade 12. That's right out of their curriculum that they are trying to use here in Wake County, by the way. Our friend Sloan Rackman talked about this and brought this information out. And this is radical Marxist stuff. I'm talking about Black Lives Matter, Inc., not the notion of Black Lives Matter. Okay, two different things. You got to be willing to deal with that. Separate those things. The Black Lives Matter, Inc. organization is Marxist, anti-biblical. I mean, just crazy. Okay? So according to the public school district's website, this is in Iowa. Students from preschool through high school will engage in a five-day guide to expand student understanding of the Black Lives Matter at school principles, including queer-affirming, transgender-affirming, globalism, and disruption of Western nuclear family dynamics. Because that's part of the BLM About Us page, which they scrubbed once everybody started paying attention to it. That's Iowa. You'd think, Iowa, that's the heart of the country, right? And then I talked about this story recently. Sloan Rackmuth, again, Education First Alliance. Tar Heel State's largest teachers association is led by a high school history teacher named Brian Prophet. Sounds normal, except Prophet is a revolutionary communist working for the Chinese-affiliated group Liberation Road. Whoa, what? And he and one other gal who's part of supporter of Black Lives Matter, Inc., the organization, are the president and vice president of the North Carolina Association of Educators. So when our school board, our state school board, and thank goodness, thank you, Lord, that Mark Robinson's in there and a couple other conservatives, honest people. And Mark Robinson's not said, he said in another statement, hey, listen, I get it. I know we've had problems in this country. I know we've had some systems in this country that were racist. But is that who we are today? Isn't it better? Have we gotten anywhere? That's the kind of stuff that he talks about. And yeah, he admits that. You got to own it. You guys just got to own it. That's part of our past. And to a certain extent, part of our present. And so you own it. But you teach kids how to be critical thinkers. You don't teach them what to think. Which is why when you go back to this article, in not the article, but the cartoon, all right? An elephant, that's Republicans, in a Ku Klux Klan outfit. And on the outfit, it says GOP member state school board. So it's showing, here's what we believe, Dennis Drawn, who teaches social studies, bing, 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 at a Johnston County elementary school. Great. Isn't that awesome? Middle school, I guess. And that's the guy that's the cartoonist. So what he's saying is the GOP members of the state school board are akin to Klansmen. And then the little text bubble is, we prefer to start with a clean sheet. Oh, get it? Sheet. Ha. And what they crossed out is a little piece of paper, new quote-unquote inclusive NC social studies standards. Okay? So you got some Republicans on there that have a problem with this clear agenda. This isn't about how to think. This is about what to think. And then this is how it runs so deep. And why I think at this point, I personally think it's wrong of us to continue to throw our kids into this meat grinder. And when I say meat grinder, I'm talking about even an honest worldview, an honest assessment of history. They're not doing that. But here's the guy at Seth Efron, the opinion editor for Capital Broadcasting, WRAL, all right? He said the point of the cartoon is not to literally call Republicans KKK members. What? Do you think we're stupid? Yes, he does. Editorial cartoons are creative and provocative, using hyperbole and satire, he said. No one believes Republicans on the State Board of Education are members of the Ku Klux Klan. The editorial cartoon by Dennis Drawn is meant to point out that these members of the State Board are trying to wipe out from the social studies curriculum the record of racism, which includes the Klan and the segregationist practices that were imposed in our state and nation's history. No, it doesn't. That's a bold-faced lie, manipulation. Are you kidding me? Do you think we're stupid? I already answered that question. He does. Actually, he doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care what I think. Because when you control the media and the educational process, you don't have to care what anybody thinks. It's like a monopoly. You don't care what anybody else thinks. You run the roost. Who cares? It's ridiculous when you look at it. But this is what's happening. And so, for the rest of the show, I just want you to call in. Not until our youngest was old enough to make the decision and we believed she could handle it, did we allow any of our kids to go into the public school system. I wasn't going to turn them over. because I don't trust it. I know what's going on there. I'm not throwing every public school teacher in America under the bus, by the way. I know there are some wonderful teachers out there who are honest, intellectually honest, who aren't anti-Christian, and they do a good job of teaching. But I think they're the minority. It's obviously ruled by, governed by, and largely infested by very liberal people who want to indoctrinate your kids to a certain worldview. Listen, I have to deal with pushback from our own children because we taught them how to be critical thinkers. So I get in debates with my kids, especially my 25 and almost 23-year-old. And they're pretty good at it, and it's really frustrating. And I'm like, golly. But then we taught them to be critical thinkers and to question things. And so when they question my positions, I take it personally. But man, that's the way we raised them. And God bless them for it. They don't just take it in. But that's not what we're teaching most of our kids. So we said, nope, not going to do it. Our kids aren't going to the government school system. So let me ask you the question. And then I'm going to open up the phones for the rest of the show. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884. Is it finally time that we as Christians, and mostly conservative Christians, just say, forget it, I'm out, we're gone. We shouldn't be sending our kids to the public school. Or do we stay? And I know some of you are like, we have to be salt and light. And I'll look you right in the face. I am right now if you're on Facebook Live. And I'll say, you're right. You need to be salt and light. But are you going to throw it off on your 8 or 10 or 12-year-old and let them be salt and light? Because I'm pretty sure they won't be. That's not their job. That's our job. That's why I keep saying, shrink the country. Our America needs to be a lot smaller, starting with your school system. 866-34-TRUTH. Call in. 866-34-TRUTH. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Should we stay or should we go? Is it time to finally just give up on the public school system? If you're a conservative, but particularly if you're in, if you're a Christ follower, if you're one of those, you know, like me, and that's why we never sent our kids to public school. And the only one that we did was our youngest at 15. She wanted to go give it a shot as a freshman at a local high school, which lasted a semester and a half until COVID shut it down. And the quality of education was not impressive. The environment, not impressive. But she was meeting a lot of people, and there were some other things there that she wanted to get involved in. But with COVID, that's gone. And so we just never. I mean, when we were young, my wife and I both were like, nope, not sending them in there. So people say, what about salt and light? Okay, fine. That's our job. I don't think that's your 10-year-old's job, not in the public school system. And like we had one of our friends on Facebook Live who's been in education is like, hey, there's some excellent teachers in there doing a great job regardless of what that comes down from on high. I agree with that, but they're probably older most of the time. And the younger ones, well, they've been through the same system. And some people don't like the word indoctrination, but I think it's kind of like the frog in the pot kind of indoctrination. And it's death by a thousand cuts. And now with new social studies standards in North Carolina that they're trying to do to make, I'm not saying don't talk about the tough issues, but if they're only trying to, they don't even teach that much history. And then in social studies, that's all going to depend on the teacher, man. To that friend on Facebook Live's point, some really good teachers are going to teach really good stuff and be fair, but there's other teachers that aren't, and they're going to teach purely from personal perspective. They're going to try to teach your kid what to think, not how to think. That's why we had this situation a couple years ago in a local elementary school, like a second grade thing where the teacher had a coming out thing for this second grader who believed that they were transgendered. So she had the rest of the, this is real, she had the rest of the kids in class clapping. Let's buy into gender dysphoria. Let's just sew into this a mental and emotional problem here by clapping and making it look like it's an awesome thing as opposed to a heartbreaking, dangerous thing. That's what's going on. Do we stay or do we go? 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Amanda from Asheboro, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. It's funny that you're talking on this today because my husband and I have been discussing this in length for the past few weeks.
Good.
Our daughter starts public school, or I'm sorry, she starts school this fall. She'll be in kindergarten. And it's almost like it's cognitive dissonance for us. We never thought in a million years that we would homeschool our kids, but we're going to homeschool our kids. We cannot. The events that have transpired the past 6 months, the past 2 years, has just blown our minds, and we cannot, in good conscience, send our kids into this school system, even in Randolph County, a very conservative county. It's going to be infiltrated here, too.
Yeah.
And we're terrified. Like that Vody Baucham quote, we cannot continue to send our children to Caesar for their education and right. be surprised when they come home as Romans. And this is the time that the government is building up some Roman soldiers right now.
Yeah, and that's a great way of looking at it. And again, you just have to be realistic. And I know it's hard. And a lot of people are like, we can't homeschool. We can't do this. I just put up a link here in North Carolina. We have the North Carolina State Education Assistance Authority, which has opportunity scholarships. That's up to like $4,200 a year if you want to pull your kid out of public school and get them to a private school, even a Christian private school. That becomes an option. Then oftentimes I remind people, hey, listen, you're not doing this alone. You should have a church family around you, other educators, other homeschoolers, if that's the case. And the Lord God Almighty himself will be helping you. I think those are great points.
Absolutely. Amanda, thanks for listening.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling and sharing that. Such a great point. Let's go to Gunther calling in all the way out there in Monterey, California. Gunther, I have no idea how you're hearing us, but go right ahead.
Yes, on the radio.
Awesome.
Yeah. Look, I wanted to ask, you know, as a Christian, what... You know, what I, as a grandpa, can do, you know, my kids going to school, my grandkids are going to school, and I know there's so much, you know, the news is biased, and they decide what our kids learn in school, and, you know, the gender identity thing, you know, I mean, it's really causing a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
And, you know, the blatant lies and the manipulating that's going on, you know. I just totally feel like I'm, you know, what can I do as a Christian?
Yeah.
You know, I called the governor's office just before the 6th of January, and, you know, just to get the message to that, look, God's watching. I hope you're going to be telling the truth.
Yeah.
It's important you tell the truth, you know. I'm willing to die for it. And next thing I know, they're coming to my doorstep, you know, and making it sound like I was like a terrorist. You know, and the thing was, I just had a concern that something's going on in this country. I know the spirit of prophecy is out there. You know, God is at work, but I just hate to see innocent people
yeah.
get drugged through the dirt the way they have been.
Yeah, and
here
I think
I'm sitting.
Well, let me get to your question.
Watching it.
Yeah, let me get to your question, Gunther, because I think it's super important. And we got a lot of people on Christian radio are grandparents. And so the thing that you have to do in this environment is to engage. You have to be very aware of what's going on, and you have to have conversations. So what we really need to be doing is, if our kids are going to be stuck in public school and your grandchildren are coming home, then have a lot of conversation with them. You have to be very deliberate. What are you learning about? Like, what are you learning about American history? What do you think about America? What do you think about racism? And you got to engage these conversations. We have to be very specific, and we have to kind of prod that conversation, because depending on their age, they may not be necessarily aware of what they're being told, but they will be able to kind of tell you a little bit about what they're experiencing. And I think we have to assume, I mean, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Assume that they're being taught a lot of things that are just patently false. We know they're being taught a lot of things that are ungodly, but patently false, and people are trying to get them to buy into a narrative that probably isn't a fair assessment. And so you have to stay involved and have those conversations. Assume that they're getting indoctrinated, and have a lot of conversations with them and engage them. And as a grandparent, maybe you can go ask if you can go sit in on a class. I mean, get involved. You get involved with the school board, get involved with the PTA. You got to have a presence. Oftentimes I think, Well, we have a lot of nice teachers. Everything's going to be fine. But that's a bad assumption. Yeah, there's some good teachers in there, but a lot of teachers are in there teaching your kids what to think instead of how to think. We have to be involved. And then some of us, if you have the wherewithal, get out. You know, as a grandparent, if somebody has the financial wherewithal, maybe they can help their grandkids get to a private school or homeschool and get involved. We can sit around and complain about it, or we can do something about it. I think that's the real challenge.
Right. And I'm ready. You know, I am so ready to do something. And it's not just for the schools, but, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm willing to die for my grandkids, you know,
yeah.
for the country's sake.
Sure.
You know, I just...
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things you can do. Like, this is an excellent document. So, Gunther, if you find me on Facebook or whatever, get a copy of the 1776 report, which the Trump administration put out, and then Biden pulled it down the first day. But that's got a pretty fair assessment of the history of the country and the principles behind the country, where you got to own it. It's just like your sin record and my sin record. I've done some great things. I've done some horrific things. And you need to be honest enough to own all of it. You need to talk about all of it. It was really excellent and a good way to look at the history of the country through a fair lens and an objective lens. Again, teaching our kids how to think, not necessarily what to think. Because if we teach them how to think, they're going to figure out the right things to think. And that's why we got to engage. But I really appreciate you calling and sharing that. That's awesome. So do something about
awesome.
It. That's,
thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Let's jump over to Kanisha calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. I lost Kanisha. Let me go up here to Clay. Clay calling in from Raleigh. Clay, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Well, hey, Brother Steve. You know, I would just like to commend you again on doing what you're doing. You know, you're taking a leap of faith into jumping into this category. I'm not a parent or a grandparent, but, you know, I've been around children a considerable amount of my life, you know, being around church and stuff like that. And it's really sad that when you have teachers that are being asked to educate a child, no matter what age it is, and bring forth stuff that don't need to be taught, because, you know, you're supposed to, I look at it as like it's a two-way street. If you're going to teach something about Black Lives Matter, you need to learn the other side of it. You know, I'm a true believer in teaching about what history is really about, you know, remembering what Martin Luther King said, I have a dream, remembering what Abraham Lincoln was about, those people. But when you institute, when you have schools, and I don't blame the other people that are doing what they're doing in homeschooling, because it's really scary, brother, because the book of Hebrews has talked about this. It says that people are drifting away, falling away, or turning away from God the Father, and when that happens, that means they don't know what path to take.
Right.
And because of this, it's sad, man, because, you know, these children are not getting a proper education, and they need it.
That's right, exactly right. Clay, thanks so much for calling in, brother. As always, I appreciate you. You want to call in and chime in on all this? I'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884. Should we stay in the system, the school system, and fight for it, or should we get out? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Should we stay or should we go? If you have kids or grandkids in the public school system, are you there or we're just done? Like President Biden, his head of education department, is all down with the transgender movement, which is gender dysphoria, which is a mental problem, mental emotional problem, requires deep counseling and help and patience, not a scalpel, not hormones. Okay, but now they come right out and say, no, we're all about this. If you're 8 and you think, and you were born with an Audi and you think you should be an innie, well, then you go right ahead. We're behind you. You be whoever you want to be, Billy or Cindy or whatever. Autonomy, which is really just idolatry. It's the same story for the last 5,000 years, but it totally amped up now. And now you got the Biden administration's like, hey, yeah, if you're a 12-year-old boy, but you think you're a 12-year-old girl and you want to go compete with the girls or go into the girls' bathroom or go into the girls' locker room, you go right ahead. Who are we to tell anybody that they're wrong? Unless, of course, you're a conservative or a Christian. Then we have a moral obligation to tell you how warped you are. But for the 12-year-old boy or the 15-year-old boy, there's not a 15-year-old boy in America that would take advantage of that system. Hey, yeah, I'm going to identify as a girl so I can go compete on the girls' volleyball team and the girls' track team or the girls' basketball team or whatever. And that so that gives me access to the girls' locker room? Okay. Okay, really? Okay, that's cool. I'll do that. Really? How long do you stay on that ship or do you let it go down? I think we should be in there as adults, as Christian adults. If you have a college student that wants to be an educator, wants to teach, God bless them. That's awesome. If they're going to walk in there and be intellectually honest and a good teacher and love those kids well and teach them history and teach them how to think so that they can come to intellectually honest conclusions and deal with the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to the history of this nation, and you hold to a biblical world, get them in there. We shouldn't abandon that field, because even if your kids aren't in there, other people's kids are in there, and we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. So what do you do here? Do we stay or do we go in the public school system? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Norm, thanks for being on hold. Sorry to keep you there. Go right ahead.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes. So I have a slightly different perspective. So I'm a black man with a biracial son, but if you look at him, you see he looks like a little black boy. But he's in and has been in a Christian school since kindergarten. He'll be going into middle school next year, and we are considering letting him go to public school. And one of the reasons is because of the lack of diversity that is in the Christian school.
Yeah.
And the other side of that is even with like the history lessons and some of the things that the teachers are teaching him aren't 100% accurate.
Yeah.
So even with that, I guess that's just my perspective, is even in the private, and I know you guys mentioned homeschooling, but in the private schooling section, there's some issues there as well.
Yeah, problem now, in the other direction, right? It's a problem in the other direction.
Right, but now as far as him going to public school, I think that he has a good biblical foundation, and we talk to our son, like we talk to him. And I think any person that has their child in any school, regardless, you need to talk to your child.
Amen.
But you need to explain kind of like Black Lives Matter. Yes, we believe Black Lives. Yes, we're going to participate in this walk or protest, peaceful protest. But there's a difference between that and the Black Lives Matter movement. And we also are very clear to make sure that he understands that, like, not even though he has some relatives on my wife's side, that we won't even take him around. But he needs to understand why, and that doesn't mean that all white people are bad and all black people aren't good. We also explain to him that there's some people that in our presence on my side of the family that might toss around the N-word, but we do not do that. So. We have to be firm on where we stand and make sure that the Bible is our source regardless.
Amen. And I would say, Norm, that I hope everybody on the show, whether they're on Facebook or radio, are listening to you, because that's exactly how we need to wade into this. Listen, I realize if you go to an all-Christian school, there could be a slant there, and there could be people that are so overwhelmed or so concerned about the slant left that they slant right, or they don't go down some roads because they're fearful that it's going to help the agenda on the left, and so you have some intellectual dishonesty in both directions. I don't implicitly trust any organization. I don't even implicitly trust myself. We have to be suspicious of all that stuff, but I really appreciate you saying that. And the key there is, hey, you know what? Let's get a firm biblical foundation. And once we believe our son or our daughter is ready, then we can wade in there as salt and light and do it as a team. That's the great thing that you're talking about, Norm. You talk and you guys engage. And so you walk through this together. You can't just send them off, whether it's to a private Christian school or to a public school, and just assume the best. That's just not responsible, especially in these days.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And like I said, I don't know if we're going to put them actually in public school or not. My wife has taught in public school for 20 years. So, and why I'm saying that, there are some Christian teachers in
That's
public
right.
school. My wife had no problems with praying over kids.
Praise God.
I don't agree with the narrative by many Christians that they've taken prayer out of school, because we've taught our child a long time ago that no one can stop you from praying.
Amen.
So
that's right.
You can't remove prayer from anything.
That's right.
So it's just a matter of making sure that people understand that, and letting parents be parents, and again, keeping the Bible as the foundation.
Amen. So Norm, great call. Thank you so much. Very, very encouraging. Thank you so much. Yeah, people say they kick God out of schools. I'm like, really? What God are you talking about? My God ain't been kicked out of anywhere. I don't know. Where does that come from? That little defeatist attitude, forget it. We're more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Remember that. Let's jump over to James, who's calling in from Raleigh. James, thanks for calling. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, I just wanted to call and quickly say I've got, you know, good friends, close friend that's teaching in the Wake County public school system. And I, you know, I've got good friends that are teaching as well, but they're in the minority. And when they say, I would never send my kid into my schools, into the public school system, I'm pretty sure I can trust them much better when they're saying that inside the system than, you know, on the outside.
Man.
Struggling right now, really.
Yeah, how do they explain that, James? I mean, I've heard that before. I've known that for years, but it's a very sobering thing to hear. It's something we need to pay great attention to. But how do they kind of, if you say, okay, why wouldn't you send your own kids? What's their answer?
So I think it's on multiple levels. One, you know, the ideological, what we're seeing, just knowing what's being taught on a specific level, but also just the fact that they're stretched thin.
Yeah.
With how many kids they have to teach and how they can't teach them to the standard that they wish they could.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just an ideological, but just a resources standpoint the quality of education they wish they could give.
Yeah, so not just an ideological problem, but it's functionally broken.
Correct.
Yeah, that's such a powerful point. James, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. I really appreciate it. Hey, where'd the TV go today? All right, I'll talk to you about it after the show. Forget it. Facebook Live video problem, not your problem. Okay, so that was power. Did you hear that? Okay, James has friends that teach in the school system, and they said, I wouldn't send my kids here. Okay, now it sounded like these are godly people because they understand. Okay, back to Ben Shapiro, facts don't care about your feelings. They understand that you're going to have some good people in there, just like James's friends, just like our caller from Charlotte. His wife teaches in there. Praise over kids. Don't tell anybody what school system she would be teaching in, by the way. But you got people in there, but they're far and few between, right? And so now this is just a matter of, what are the odds here? If I know there's an 80% chance that my child is going to get misled purposefully, because there's all kinds of woke people in the school system from the top to the bottom. And don't you know that they want your child to be just like them? And if it's a child being raised in a Christian family, well, now, like you Trumpers, we got to deprogram you because you're just a mind-numb robot. And if you believe the Bible, these kids are so messed up. You probably think there's only two genders. You probably have a problem with the homosexual lifestyle, yada, yada, yada. Right? Of course. And I tell my students and I tell the parents in my classes, I say, by the way, don't be under any illusion that I'm objective. I am not. I have a mission. I am on a mission. But I can be brutally intellectually honest when it comes to these things. And so there's things that we need to talk about with this country, past, present, we'll see about the future, that need to be discussed, that are just wicked, not the least of which is 61 million dead babies. Okay? So you want to, America's the greatest nation on the planet. I agree with that, but that's a relative statement. Relative to what? Relative to other people. Relative to other nations. Okay, I'm with you. Relative to God's standards? No, wretched. Debaucherous. And we export it. Okay, so get over it. You think the red, white, and blue is holy and pure? No, I know you know that. But sometimes we act as if America's above reproach. It isn't. So all we need to do, because there's a lot of amazing and beautiful things about this country, there's garbage too. There has been, there still is. Intellectual honesty, that's all I'm after. But you can't get that largely in the public school system. And when 80% of it's against you and 20% of it's for you, that math doesn't work in your favor. Just like the Gold Star Christian and your kids are 4 hours a week in church, but between kindergarten and 12th grade, that's 16,000 hours total versus 2,400 in church over the same period of time. You got to be logical and you got to be brutally honest. There are many, 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 many teachers who want to teach your kid to be just like them. Do you want your kids to be just like their teachers? In most cases, the answer to that in the public school system is no. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.